Welcome back to the Serial Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, the Serial Hustler, and we are overdue, my friends, for another round, another podcast, another get together. Yeah, so let's get it. Happy 2023. I hope this is the year that is the year that you finally are able to get the things that you want out of life. You know, if only to just start down the path, like just to be able to like see through the foliage, to peek through and be able to see the you know, darkness before the dawn. I hope 2023 is a good one for you guys. So I just wanted to say that and give you guys an update on what I've been up to. I've been selling a lot of books. I have gotten a lot more knowledgeable about selling books. And it's amazing. You think, people, they think that they know everything, and I am guilty of that, because, I thought selling books was one thing. I thought that you could only really sell books on Amazon or on eBay that were like rare books or like a one-of-a-kind item, maybe like an autographed book, vintage book, something that's just not so commonplace. But there is other... There's more than one way to skin a cat. Man, fuck that phrase, man. Fuck that phrase. I am for cats. No cat skinning allowed during this podcast. And after. If you know what's best for you. I digress. But there is multiple ways to sell books. Yeah, you can go on Amazon. That's probably the best way to go about it, TBH. If you just want the short, cut and dry, easy path, you know, start selling books on Amazon. You can actually open up an account, a free account, where you're able to sell, I believe, 20 items. So you can do that. It is kind of confusing. I do want to let you guys know that I did try that, and I somehow accidentally signed up for the $39.99, I guess like the next tier up by accident, but I was able to call up Amazon, and the cool thing about Amazon is, like when you have a problem, they're pretty good at solving it, or like, you know, help you come to like some resolution. So they were able to, I was able to like, you know, just make a quick phone call. And then I was able to, get that $39.99 refunded back. And I was able to get on the free Amazon seller plan. So I believe it is available. It's kind of a trick to get on it, but once you're on it, it is well worth it, because it's amazing. I mean, you'll be scanning books in your room, and then you'll come across... I'm a fan of Hunter S. Thompson. You know, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, that is a classic movie based off of a classic American novel of the American dream. And so... I do have a couple of books here and there throughout my life. I've owned, you know, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, obviously. I've read that. Oh, that's such a fun book to read. Side note, if you have not read Fear and Loathing, if you've seen the movie, if you thought it was crazy, bonkers, read that book. And you're gonna be blown away at, like, just the writing style of Hunter S. Thompson is just... It's incendiary. Yeah, it's fucking...
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so I scanned one of his books. I scanned this nice hardcover. It was one of his lesser known stories. I think it was like a short story book with artwork done. Really cool artwork by Ralph Steadman. He was the guy that did the Fear and Loathing artwork. And so it was just this nice, you know, coffee table book. I didn't think it was going to be worth as much as it was. So I scanned the barcode on it, and it came up, and I think it was like $110. Like after fees and everything, that's how much I would make according to the Amazon seller app. And I was like, holy shit. So that was actually the first book that I sold on Amazon. And I was just blown away. I wasn't really expecting it. I think I listed that one book, and then I just kind of forgot about it. And I was mostly consumed at the time with selling on Amazon or eBay. That was my main squeeze at the time. I was doing a little bit of selling here and there on other apps, but that was where I was getting the bulk of my income reselling wise. But yeah, as soon as I experienced for myself, like, the profit that you can make with Amazon, you know, selling stuff on there, it's pretty incredible. And there is people out there that are able to change their lives with reselling. And it's not the reselling per se, it's more or less just the ideals that, you know, the old saying where, I'm gonna butcher it, but I'll get the idea across to you. Why teach a man, or why feed a man when you can teach him how to fish, and that way he'll be fed all his life? I butchered it, but you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, mission accomplished. God damn it, this bed is squeaky. This has to be the oldest mattress in the southern hemisphere. Okay, so besides books, I've also been going to Ross, and I don't know about you guys, but the Ross by my place has had some really great stuff over there. And then I've also been kind of just surprised at some of the sections at Ross that I didn't even really know existed. Because a lot of people, you know, well, they'll go there and maybe buy some shoes or get some t-shirts on clearance. But they also have like a home goods section. They got a little artist section. I'm into painting, and I do like to do art. I'm super creative, and that was where I got all my art supplies. Like, I got my canvases, my paints, everything, mixed media, all sorts of just fun stuff that I haven't even gotten fully into yet. There's a bunch of art supplies that I haven't even gotten to mess with yet. So, but in these sections, like, for example, in the kids section, you know, you can find some pretty neat toys sometimes. For example, I was looking around, and at my Ross, I found this. It was do you guys remember those old school handheld games that were like just that one game? It was a handheld little Jurassic Park game, actually. And at first I wanted to keep it. I was like, oh, you know, this brings me back, takes me back. And it was a 1993 little handheld toy game by Bandai or some company. And, you know, I think it was being sold for like $6.99. And I look up and I'm seeing that people on eBay and online are selling them for like, you know, 2 to 3 times what the price is, you know. So there's definitely room to make profit off of selling that, and I definitely snagged it, and I definitely sold it. I wanted to keep it, but I just figured, you know what, when I'm later on, when I'm doing better off financially in life, I will pick it up if I really still want it that badly. So if you guys live by a, and it doesn't have to be a Ross, it could be like a Burlington Coat Factory or Marshall's. It could be just any of those types of stores where they get, you know, like Macy's, well, they get like the return goods or whatever from, or the stuff that Macy's doesn't sell. And then, so that's how they're able to, like, you know, give that stuff at a discount. And, you know, you can go in there and I don't usually buy anything that's priced new, unless it's like, in rare cases, if it's a good, really good brand, you know, I might bend that rule, but typically I always buy clothing from the clearance rack. So yeah, I would recommend, you know, next time you guys are by Ross, walk in there, check it out. Look, check the clearance rack and see what they got over there. They might have some cool things over there. I found over here, this really cool Puma jacket. Really, really dope. I think it was $11.99. And it has had this really cool colorway going on, like purple, light green, and then like a checker, and then the little Puma emblem. But basically, it was just like a nice retro-inspired Puma windbreaker. It was $11.99, and I was able to sell it. I sold it on Poshmark for $25, or $24, around there. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you can get some deals over there. You can find some stuff that, like, I don't know. You could check out maybe the Home Goods section, or like some other sections in Ross, and you might be surprised at what you find. You might find some cool stuff like I did. So, you know, I definitely would highly recommend, you know, checking out your local Ross and Marshalls, because not everyone's going to be close to a thrift shop. Not everyone's going to be in an area, like somebody might live in a populated, condensed area of people where there's a lot of resellers. Like, the more people, the more resellers there's going to be. Like, you could literally tell in Houston, like, who was a reseller and who is not. Like, and you would eventually run into them, you know, here and there at the same places, and then strike up a conversation and become friends sometimes. But around here, I mean, I'm a lone wolf. I feel like I have kind of an advantage over the average bear around here, just because there's less people, less resellers. So, but at the same time, because it's like a small township, there's not as many compared to Houston, where there's thrift shop, like probably 100 thrift shops in Houston. I think there's 2 or 3 around here, and they're okay. They got some good stuff here and there, but I've had a lot of luck just going to Ross, and also going to Walmart, hitting up the clearance section. I went over there and I found these light bulbs recently, and they were normally priced $8.97, but the sign said 97 cents. So I loaded up my shopping cart. I bought like 50. And I was able to sell them. Somebody bought them. And then I went and got more. And the same buyer became a repeat buyer for me. And I was able to probably sell a good couple hundred dollars worth of light bulbs to these people and make a killer ROI profit off of that. I mean, because that's the stuff that resellers get excited about. Like when you see something like that, and then like you're able to just be able to get like a freaking 90% ROI profit off of, like, you know, your items that you're selling. It's a nice feeling, but it's a rarity, which kind of, you know, makes it a little bit more special. But I digress. All right, so I'm thinking right now, I really like how this podcast has been going, and I hope that it's been valuable in some shape or form to the listeners out there. I really do. I really do hope it helps, and I want to make sure that I'm able to fill as much knowledge into this podcast as possible. I was thinking about, like, what could I do, you know? What could I do for the listener? And I was thinking maybe it'd be kind of cool to go through some of the sales that I've made. For example, on Poshmark right now, let's see. So I haven't been selling that many things on Poshmark, but clothing-wise, stuff that I've been getting over at Ross typically ends up on Poshmark. And I do like selling on Poshmark clothing-wise. Seems like you can get a little bit more money than on eBay typically, because it seems like the people are willing to spend more because it's more of like a boutique type atmosphere, I guess, versus the garage sale-esque atmosphere of eBay, where like everybody's trying to get the cheapest price to get the sale. Where it's not necessarily the case. You can milk them a little, not milk them, but you can make more of a profit on clothing selling through Poshmark. It's like the equivalent of making more of a profit book-wise, Amazon. Clothing, Poshmark. Books, Amazon. You know, and then like eBay, and then like items that typically do well on eBay is one of a kind, unique items, autographed magic cards, autographed CDs, a guitar owned by Jimi Hendrix, things like that. And then you'll put it as an auction. And speaking of auctions, I haven't had much experience doing auctions. I've primarily just done buy it now since day one, reselling wise, but I decided for this pair of Allen Edmonds, really sold recently, I decided to try out the auction setting. So I did auction. They recommended starting bid of $33, and that sounded okay to me. I spent $14 on the shoes, and then I also put a buy it now price $50, and then I put expedited shipping. Long story short, somebody ended up clicking the buy it now price, and I was super excited. I was able, like damn near $60, a little bit under, and it kind of just opened my eyes, because it made me think that if I timed it correctly, if I had the if I had good auction items to sell on eBay, if I could just space it out every 7 days, you could actually set it up to where you can kind of have some sort of control over your income. You know, you can like space it out and be like, oh, if I have an auction here, and then, you know, an auction a week, then at the end of every single week, you know, as long as there's one bidder or buyer, then you know, it's money in your pocket every single week. And I do like that, you know, because sometimes you list something on eBay and it'll be up there forever and a day, and you're just like, why the hell isn't this selling? But with auctions, I think you can do a couple days. I did a 7-day auction. Maybe you can do longer days. I'm not sure anymore, but yeah, I did the 7-day auction, and then I believe today was the 5th day, and somebody bought them, and I just shipped them out. So yeah, I was really, really excited about that, because it was a nice reinforcement for me when I found out, you know, I was like, oh, okay, maybe there is something more to, you know, eBay, and there is, maybe I need to take advantage of doing auctions more often with certain items. So I think I'm gonna do that. Like, I had a Dolly Parton autograph. Damn, that's crazy to say, right? I had a Dolly Parton autograph. And then here's the killer. I sold it. That was the perfect thing to put for an auction. I should have put it as an auction, but this is the way that we learn as resellers. Trial and error, you know? So just got to dust off the shoulders and put my big boy britches on and carry on. So I think that's it for this installment of The Serial Hustler. I'm going to catch you guys later. I got some listings to do. I will holla at you later.